This program is paid for by Investors Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investors Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The Larry Steinhaus Show.
All right, everybody, good afternoon and welcome to the Larry Steinhaus Show. Surprisingly enough, Army actually showed up, and I'm so excited that Army showed up. But let me get through the introduction. We can talk about that in a minute. We're here broadcasting live from Investor Schooling headquarters right here in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. I am Larry Steinhaus, and I am the CEO of Investor Schooling. I'm here to make financial education fun and accessible to everyone, including you.
Me?
Especially you.
Okay.
On this show, we discuss several ways of making more money. We concentrate on real estate investing, stock option trading, the stock market, how to maximize your retirement fund, and you can call us anytime during this show at...
That's 855-939-1137. Aren't you miss that? Aren't you missing me? 855-939-1137? Yes, it's me.
I am so missing you.
Yeah, it was bad English. Yes. I'm sorry.
And we are also live on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube. Please leave a comment, say hello, so we know you're listening to. So I know you're watching.
And tell them also to subscribe and follow us on YouTube.
Yes, subscribe and follow us on YouTube.
Please.
Right. We have no followers.
In YouTube, no.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Anyway, I'm here with my awesome co-host, Dr. Deb Anderson, and Omri Morad, known as the...
I'm not going there.
Just an immigrant.
What did you think it was going to be?
I'm not going to say anything else.
Okay.
Just see what you think.
Okay. We're also hanging out here with our producer for the morning, which is Kirk Corliss, and he will be taking your call if you call in at
855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137.
But guess what I forgot to do?
Oh, my God.
I forgot to forward the calls.
Oh,
you know what that means?
That everything will ring in your phone right now.
That means nobody will ever be able to call in. So I'm going to have to forward the calls while I'm talking to everybody. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Deb for just a second. I have a question for you, Deb.
All right. What's the question?
And I want you to have a conversation with Army for a minute.
All right.
On why I was so mean last week.
You know, we were just having this discussion just a little bit ago.
Aww.
You know, and I thought it was funny because I should have bet Larry $100 whether or not you're going to show up today. Because it's like 9:56 and then, you know, and then Omri comes strolling through. And Larry's like, he's not showing up. I'm like, he'll come in late. He'll come in right at that last minute. And then we heard you like running down the steps, you know, and you're like, I'm here. But like, Larry was sure that you weren't coming in today. And I was sure that you were going to come. I don't see you leaving us high and dry.
Will you split your 20 with me?
He didn't even get, I should have bet him $100.
Okay.
And I didn't, but maybe he should just give me $100 anyway and we'll split it between the two of us. Because he showed up. But we were saying something to Kirk, because Kirk was saying how he was talking to somebody at the radio show and he was saying
he couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and he couldn't believe how, you know, how last week went, because it was so much tension and so much frustration, and he was just like, it was great radio.
It was like the Big Brother.
You're like the Big Brother?
No, it was like the Big Brother. Why do you watch the Big Brother?
Oh,
only
the
because of the drama, right?
Yeah, the drama, of course.
You don't have Big Brother here in Israel?
Yeah,
of course we do.
I watched it the first season. That was all I ever watched.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't watch it either. But
the show Big Brother is you're waiting to see who's going to sleep with who.
I'm not familiar with the show at all.
I didn't know they sleep with each other.
Yeah, they start out. And it's on film too.
What are we talking about?
The show Big Brother.
Okay, I don't know the show.
It's all about the drama. So you put 20 people in some kind of a castle, and they live together for a few months. There are cameras.
But it's
everywhere.
Couples, or it's
no. It's just individuals.
Some are couples. Some are singles.
Right.
Some know each other. Some don't know each other.
Men and women.
Yeah, and after 3 hours, everybody wants to kill each other.
But they either want to kill each other or sleep with each other.
It's like whatever.
I mean, you know, they even had the cameras in the bathroom too. Remember the first few seasons?
Really?
I didn't see that.
But, I mean, they made it an angle so you can't see anything.
So you can't see the toilet.
Right. but they did. They literally had cameras everywhere.
Wow.
I mean, you know, if anybody got naked, they obviously wouldn't put it on a television. But the like, and it's funny because like the first season I watched it, I'm laughing hysterical. You know, you got these guys having sex under the blanket so they can't say. But how did we get there from a financial show? How did we get to this whole conversation?
So we talked about the drama. We watch Big Brother for the drama. Many people listened to us last week because of the drama.
Of course.
Not because of real estate.
It was one of the best shows ever, right, Kirk?
No, it wasn't.
Even Kirk thought it was great radio.
And it was great because I was saying that on Thursday night, everybody rushed to the back of the room to talk to you and to Larry about the show. Everybody who listened to the show,
right,
you know, rushed to the back of the room to have their 2 cents.
And of course, Army was so upset all week.
He was very upset all week.
Yeah, he was upset all week. So what I did was I told everybody, shh, Army's right. Shh, Army's right.
Oh, I did do that. He did do that. He did do that, actually. Oh, it was great.
And then I was so nice to Army all week. I was like, I even took him out to dinner. I took his wife. Well, you came, yes, right?
Yeah.
I took his wife. I took his two kids out for dinner last night.
You're not making me look better here. You did it because we are friends and we go a lot to eat outside. It's not the first time we're going to eat in a restaurant.
But well, I must say you two have, all three of you have great chemistry. So, Amr, you're a good dude. I told you that off the air, so you're still a good dude.
There you go.
You gave him
think Army's a good dude?
You gave him this script?
You have a good heart. We say that all the time. You have a good heart.
I exactly. do.
You do. Yeah. You have a good heart. It's on your sleeve, but you have a good heart.
What?
It's on your sleeve.
So he doesn't know what that means?
No, I don't.
The funniest thing, one of the things, so if you're listening to this for the first time going, what is this show? This show is a financial show, but
lunatics?
We're just normal people. We're not having, we don't sit there and go, you should buy this product and this product and this, blah, blah. We just have fun. We
teach, never call me normal again.
We teach financial education.
Yeah.
And we're real radio personalities. We're real people. And if you come into Investor Schooling on Thursday, you get to meet us and you get to hang out with us,
mm-hmm.
and you get to learn something cool about finances. But last week, if you didn't listen to the show, and you should have, and go back and listen to it if you can. I believe it's on WPHT on the website, or you can go to my Facebook page and you can play it there. Army and I had a really big fight last week, mm-hmm. about how he takes care of properties, I take care of properties. I'm not going to get into the fight again
because
I don't want to make Army cry.
About one specific tenant that I think we all understand after I express.
Anyway, so Saturday we had the show, right. And it took all weekend. And I think, Monday we had off?
It took till Tuesday for Army even spoke to me.
Yeah, it took till Tuesday for Army.
And then for half an hour he berated me.
And then I did
what to you?
You berated me.
He wasn't mean to you.
You yelled at me for half an hour.
Yeah, you said not nice things to him.
I didn't. I expressed myself to you, and I told you.
And then I even
I think you agreed with part of what I said.
And then I even reached out to Amri, and he completely blew me off.
No, he blocked you, apparently.
He blocked me on, yes. He blocked you. I sent a message at Saturday night, and then I sent another message Monday. I'm like, hey, how you making out? And he blocked me, and I sent a screenshot to Larry. I'm like, what the heck? He blocked me. He's like, oh, my God. I'm like, I can't believe it. Because, I mean, I'm, like, in the middle here, but I was just kind of, like, out of the kindness of my heart was thinking about you, and then you have the nerve to block me? I'm like, what the hell was that all about?
Why people like to be victim? Do you have the nerve? What do you say? Why do you always like to take
the
people?
I was just checking in on you. People. I was worried about you.
I need those bells. I was just checking in on you.
All those.
Kirk, you got a boxing bell? You got a boxing bell?
You don't have that in your computer?
It's the only one I don't have.
I can look for it.
I don't have one.
We'll have to buy one. We'll have to buy those. You know how they have them at the, you know, when you go out to like a theater or something, ding, 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 you know?
Yeah. No, but you'd think I'd have that sound effect.
The last thing he bought to the radio show was a Caterpillar. How you call that?
I don't know. What were you talking about?
The electrifying machine. How do you call that?
The cattle prod.
A cattle prod.
Yeah.
Cattle prod, yeah.
Yeah, that's to get the students going.
So you understand what kind of a show is it if you're listening to us for the first time?
I think I missed that episode.
The cattle prod episode?
Yeah.
It was never here.
I don't know. I have a cattle prod.
Yeah, well, I know you
did. Did.
Yeah. I know.
Got one, you know, for every time the student says, I don't think I can do this, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah, I remember I grabbed
a cattle prod and I electrocuted him.
You are welcome to join us at Investor Schooling. We are delightful.
All right. We got Kimmy saying hi. She's saying she's hoping you're in a good mood today.
I am.
Good.
There he goes. Yeah, there it is.
He did it.
Oh, there he goes. Yeah, he found it. Yeah, okay, cool. All right. But it was a little bit late, you know, Kirk. You know, you just ring it every time you think it's a good time to ring.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
But I did fix the phone number. So, Army, why don't you give everybody the phone number again?
I don't know. Ah, it's 855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. If you want to be part of this madness, you can call at 855-939-1137.
You know, I wish you would say that number like my phone number here so that I remember it.
Yeah.
Because I know this the radio number because of the way you do it. And then my number here, I have it on the back of my phone, so I remember it because half the time I forget it.
So I have a problem right now because when we do calls and we talk to the students...
That's the number you get.
Feel the tone, Kirk. Feel the tone.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
So,
that's
wait, so funny. Wait. I got to go to Kirk for a second, right? So, Kirk, so, you know, usually we have Glenn as our producer, but because we're in the morning, because you know, the games are much more important than we
just
are.
Just don't go there. Don't okay, go there.
But we got Kirk. So, Kirk is usually playing replays. That's what he does all day long, is he plays replays, like people who have pre-recorded their shows, because everybody else does a pre-recorded show. Nobody does a live show that we do. Ha ha ha. And I got my dig into those people, right?
There you go. All right.
Kirk is like, wow, man, for 1 hour I have a good time, right, Kirk?
Absolutely. Without doubt. Absolutely.
So he gets to be a real producer for an hour, and the other time he's like pushing buttons.
Yeah. Okay.
I still have fun here, no matter what.
Oh yeah, right.
Everybody else is listening to him, so he has to be careful what he says.
You know? I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing when you listen to other people's show. This is exactly what you're doing.
Why do you need to listen to a pre-recorded show?
Because I have
to. It's pre-recorded. It should be.
Because there are times where I have to. There's times where there's pre-recorded shows, but also there's breaks, so I have to watch the time. This is like inside radio stuff, but yeah, I have to keep an eye on the clock, you know, make sure that all of our commercials play, so, you know.
So they don't care enough to wake up in the morning and do a live show, but he needs to care enough to and listen to the show. It's ridiculous. Yeah,
exactly, right.
It's ridiculous.
And, you know, those guys with the pre-recorded shows, they don't know half the stuff that we know.
Agreed.
All right, so anyway, getting back to, where were we though? We were in the middle of a conversation and I interrupted again.
Oh,
but that's fine. So this week, we had a great presentation on trusts, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen this one, by the way.
Yeah, he said it was a new one. Yeah,
this is the new one. I've never seen
it. Yeah, it was a new presentation. So we were supposed to have the attorney was supposed to show up, and he actually postponed. Something came up, and that's okay, because he's an attorney. You know, things happen.
He has a life that's more important than yours?
Yeah. I'm so insulted by that statement, though.
Please continue.
I'm just joking. That was great.
Keep going, Kirk. Maybe you will be sweet.
Glenn Page, if you're listening, maybe you're Kirk.
I was about to say something. Yeah, I know.
That was funny.
So
this week it's going to be, you know, him and I dueling it out. And then next week it'll be you and me dueling it out.
Do it.
So,
please
go.
Right. So I did a presentation instead of the attorney coming. I did a presentation on all the different types of trusts. And it's funny because every time we talk about trust, people don't understand how important these things are. Right? Debbie, how many properties do I own?
None.
Army, how many properties does my LLC own?
None.
None, right?
Yeah.
So I own nothing, but I control them all, and I get all the money out of them.
The block in the mind for many people is to understand, and that was maybe my point, that a piece of paper can own a property.
Right.
When you understand that it's exactly that, a piece of paper can own a property,
right,
you pass the barrier and you're done, and you're good.
Right, and that piece of paper needs somebody to control that piece of paper, which is called the trustee.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And the trustee makes all the decisions, makes all the decisions and has none of the liability. It's pretty wild. It's such a great way. I mean, I just keep buying properties in trust, and I don't own any of them.
Yeah.
And we're going today to go look at a property, all three of us, aren't we?
Three of us. One of our listeners.
Yeah, so as you know, if you've been listening to the radio lately, I decided to advertise that I also buy properties because I do it all the time. And if anybody has a property for sale, give us a call. And you can give us a call at the same number, which is
855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137.
He doesn't seem to be getting into it as much as he usually does.
855-939-1137.
What did you say?
That's 855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137.
I didn't know if you were
going to. That's 855-939-1137.
Oh, there you go.
And that, there it is. There it is. And that's the number for the show right now. And also, when the show's off, that's also the number to reach me directly.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to sell your property, or if you have, you know, if you have any other questions too, you can certainly call that number as well too.
So if you call this number and a guy answer you on the other side while the show is off and said, "How are you going to waste my time today? Or what are you time with?" Don't be afraid. It's Larry Steinhaus.
So what Army's talking about,
we need to explain that.
Yeah, you obviously need to explain now, it. Anybody call now?
Now,
why would anybody call now? Why did you say something like that?
Why anybody will do anything? It's all about the drama and what's going on in this room. Explain that.
And if you come to investors,
I have to explain that now because you just made everybody go, "Well, I was going to call that number, but I don't want Larry to say, what are you going to waste my time with?" None of you people who call that number, none of you will have the answer, "What are you going to waste my time with?" What
Explain.
Army's talking about
is
those spam calls that you get, right?
Oh, my God.
You call, you go, "Hello," and they go, bloop, and it's some Indian from India who doesn't even speak half English telling you about, whatever.
That's racist.
I know. Why? Because they're Indian and they don't speak half English?
It's fact.
That's what Mommy would say.
It's fact. They don't know.
Oh.
It's not the English.
I just think it's funny.
It's the accent. The accent is very thick.
It's a hard accent to listen to.
And that bloop noise, you always know that it's a fake call.
No. You get, "We are connecting you right now. I haven't called. You called me."
Yeah,
"We are connecting you right now." And then you need to wait for a person who just called you.
Right. So what I do is as soon as I hear that bleep noise, I go, "So what would you like to waste my time with today?" And it's funny because you get anything from people hanging up to go to ignoring it, completely ignoring it. And then the other thing that they do is they'll say, "I'm not going to waste your time." I go, "You've already wasted 5 seconds. What else do you want to waste my time with?" And I keep going until they hang up eventually.
Because we are in tough times. And I'm thinking about that from I don't know, maybe a parent perspective. We hear those people calling from India or maybe Finland. I don't know where they're calling from. But we also sometimes get it from Americans. And I think it's a very hard job to do. I don't think
it's very, a very hard job to do, no doubt.
I'm pretty sure that to be in a chair all day and do phone calls, that half of the people slam the phone in your face, it's the most disrespectful job ever. Who is willing to do such a thing for, I don't know, a week, a month, a year? It's just insane. I will never be able to do that.
I've heard people do it.
You know people that actually do that?
So, yeah, absolutely. I used to do it many, many years ago.
For what company?
I used to sell life insurance.
Okay.
I used to make 400 calls a week.
Okay.
And then when I went, about 400 calls a week I used to make.
No.
It was great. And I was really good at it. I had fun with it.
No, I get it. But those days, because we're so flooded with it.
Right. Now it's
people,
different.
People
now
are, it's
so
are
different. Now everybody hates
has
it because
less,
so many of them. Exactly, right.
It's exactly that.
Yeah.
It's exactly that.
All right. So I think I saw somebody tried to call, but I'm just want to make sure.
We have some technical
somebody
difficulties.
It seems like it's fine, but somebody tried to call, but I don't know what happened. It didn't go through.
So whatever. You do your stuff, and we will talk. And I just want to tell you, Miss Debbie Anderson.
Yeah. Doctor. You said miss. I don't accept miss. I accept
you don't
doctor.
Accept miss?
No.
So yes, put your certificate behind you like a proper doctor.
So let me.
Was it? Fun.
What is it?
It was a porno call.
What is a porno call?
What do you think a porno call is?
What is a porno call?
They wanted to see if I was going to say, "Hey, what would you like to waste my time with today?"
Yeah.
I'll be so confused.
Yeah, I am confused. What is a porno call?
You know what porno is, right?
I know what porno is.
Right. So if you take porno and you take the word call after the word porno, what do you think it is?
I have no idea.
Let's put it this way, Omri. It's basically someone who wants to talk dirty on the air.
Ah. Can you please connect them? Please connect.
Not.
Connect.
I love it. I love it that Kirk has to explain what a porno call is.
Really?
To Omri.
You can call again at 855-939-1137.
Shut up!
Who did that? This is you or Kirk?
It was me.
No, it's Kirk.
That's Kirk.
Oh, man.
That's funny.
I didn't know those things exist. Excuse me.
So 25 minutes into the show,
yeah.
Maybe we should tell people what we do.
Exactly.
That so takes all the fun out of it.
We reject porn calls. No, we do other stuff.
Yeah, so for
so
you guys,
I try
it's
to.
It's just funny because we're in a new time now, so people are like, what is this show?
What's
going on? It's Larry Steinhaus show. And what we do is we talk about financial education. And so far in the last 25 minutes, we talked about things like porno calls.
What used to be in this hour before we moved to 10 o'clock?
So it was Gary Arnell.
Okay.
My friend Gary Arnell. So okay. He would be here. So when the games are on,
yeah.
Gary Arnell gets bumped completely. They move us to his spot.
Okay.
And then sometimes he does a show late on Saturday, depending on who got bumped.
Yeah.
But Gary's fun. I've argued with Gary a couple of times.
He's always said nice things to me. Like when
yeah, he's a really nice guy.
He's always said nice things to me. So.
Do you want to talk about real estate?
Yeah, let's talk about real estate. What would you like to talk about, Army, and real estate?
Same subject we are keep talking about for, I don't know, maybe a year now.
Which one?
What's going on? The shifting in the market.
The shifting in the market, yes. Okay.
So...
it's a really good topic, too.
It's a very...
It's getting bad.
Weird... No, it's not bad. It's a weird situation. I saw a house next to my house right now.
Right.
That sold in less than 24 hours.
Well...
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's actually here across the street
exactly
from the office.
Said it was going to happen this summer?
24 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you basing your comps anymore?
Yeah,
I mean,
you're
not sure what's going on.
You can't. So it depends on the appraisers now. So, all right, so let's answer the first question, is what's happening in the market.
Yeah.
So I say it's going to get bad, but that's good for real estate investors.
Of course.
The market getting bad is good for real estate investors. Mm-hmm. So flat out. Now's the time to start learning how to buy properties, because in about a year or two, you're going to be the only one who can buy them.
Correct.
Because nobody's going to know how to buy them,
mm-hmm.
especially the guy who owes $300,000 on a property worth $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to know how to buy that property and get the guy whole. I can keep this guy from having to pay anything at closing by taking over his mortgage payments.
Yeah.
And it's a topic that we teach all the time, which is a phenomenal topic, phenomenal way to buy real estate. He's taking over mortgage payments.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing
payments. If
his payments, not his mortgage.
Exactly.
Payments, right?
If somebody is confused about that, we're not talking about assuming a mortgage.
Right. We're talking about taking over the mortgage payments.
Correct.
And owning the house, which is pretty wild. So a lot of people have mortgages like 2 or 3% interest, and you could take over those mortgage payments at 2 or 3% interest and own the house.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I have quite a few of them.
So based on that, I am very confused on rentals too. Because we still see that some rentals...
I'm seeing prices coming down in rentals.
Yeah, prices have come down for rentals.
So prices are coming down for rentals. Mm-hmm. I am focusing right now on housing authorities. Because housing authorities...
You're getting some crazy Section 8 numbers.
So I am actually moving one tenant from a 4-bedroom to a 5-bedroom. And the 4-bedroom that I will start redoing next week... I'm going to offer it only for housing authority voucher holders.
Wow.
Because I am...
That is such a weird thing, right? So a lot of people discriminate against housing vouchers.
You're not allowed anymore. You're not allowed to say that. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. You got to be really careful how you turn down a tenant.
I know.
There was a post in one of our groups that somebody got fined once, recently got fined $1,000 because in the ad they say no criminals allowed. And I'm like, first of all, why would you ever put that in an ad?
Yeah.
But because he put it in an ad, he got fined $1,000 from the housing authority.
But it's criminal.
Criminal, yeah.
Yeah, but you can't say no because you're criminal. You have to... finesse it in a way that says that you're not the kind of tenant. You have to be careful how you word it.
You can say you didn't pass my application.
I took a better qualified tenant. That's all you have to say.
And that's okay?
That's fine. Was it because I have a criminal record? No, I found a better qualified tenant. That's it.
I'm amazed that because a person don't want criminals is in property.
What?
He will get a fine. Okay, it's weird.
So first of all, we've had this conversation before about what tenants you would take and what tenants you wouldn't take.
Yeah.
Right? I will take somebody who's a criminal, but I need to know the details. You know, I mean, you know, if he burned his last apartment down and shot the landlord, I'm not taking him.
Come on, that's a perfect tenant for you.
You know what I mean?
Knowing you, you would like to hear the story.
Yeah, I want to hear the story, right, exactly. because, you know, there's no such thing as bad tenants. There's only bad landlords. But that might be the first bad tenant.
So that's actually where I'm coming from, and that's why I'm going housing authorities. I don't know if the whole scandemic will come back. I don't know what will happen. I have no idea. I tell you what I do know. When I started, and I was a much worse landlord.
A worse, okay?
Worse.
That's all right. Look, he's doing pretty good for his broken English.
All right.
No, honestly, I was a bad landlord back then.
You are.
Okay? No, I'm not M. I was.
As I said, you were.
I were. You not
were.
Are.
Were and was is the same thing, just different. It's like him and her and them and they.
This is an English lesson with Mr. Larry Steinhaus. So I wasn't qualified back then to any SBA or PPP or any kind of those loans that show that the government is throwing money at the people. And what my tenants heard back then, after they heard Wolf's speech, was, you don't need to pay. Your tenant, your landlord cannot do anything against you.
Right. That was the first
which
time.
Which is basically
ever.
That's what he said.
Right.
That's what I heard. I don't know. And when you work in distressed areas, people take advantage. It happens. We see it. We see it sometimes in the mobile home park, by the way. We see that people try to take advantage. They try to test the limits. And yeah. Back then,
all tenants try to test the limits, by the way.
And back then, in April of 2020, I couldn't go to grocery shopping because of that, because my tenants decided not to pay.
Right.
Housing authorities, you in a way assuring yourself that the money will arrive.
That's right.
So I want some. Maybe not all of them, but I do want some. I want to be in a position that I can still feed my kids.
And it's a really good, really good strategy. I actually like the strategy. Now, you like the bureaucracy of going through all this Section 8 stuff.
It's easy.
See, it's funny because I'm just lazy.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we can. Sure. Why don't we talk about the strategy? Actually, why don't we make it a topic right now? Talk about Section 8. As a matter of fact, if anybody wants to call in and learn about Section 8 housing or has questions about Section 8 housing, or if you've done Section 8 housing, if you had a good experience or a bad experience, you could call at
855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137.
Right. So just repeat, if you have any questions about housing authority,
Anything, or
Section 8, or if you've had a good experience or a bad experience, give us a call. We'll talk about it because this is a great topic, actually. Okay, go ahead.
I know. So, first of all, not everybody call it Section 8 anymore. They want to be called like the County Housing Authority. So I don't know why they don't like the term anymore. Apparently, it's like
Obama. Like every other term that changes, right?
It's like Obamacare and Penny.
Yeah.
It's not Obamacare. It's Penny.
Yeah, well,
it's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So when a tenant applies to you, first of all, you need to know that they have a voucher. You need to see this voucher because you can get a call from a tenant. Hello, do you accept Section 8 tenant? And you can say, yes, I do. Do you have a current voucher? Yes. I need to see this voucher.
So sometimes, do you ask them to email before you even show them the house?
To email, to text me. Okay. I want to see the voucher. And I'm looking for three things in the voucher. First of all, I want to see that the voucher is still valid. A voucher is normally good for 3 months. They can extend it, but then they get a new one and you will see it. But normally it's for 3 months. I want to see how many bedrooms. Of course, I want to see that the names are correct. Those are the people I'm talking to. This is the people that have the voucher. And I also want to see how many bedrooms. Because some Section 8 Housing Authority tenants don't understand the concept. And they call you and they said, I am approved for, let's say, a two-bedroom. Good. And then another person will call you and they say, I am approved for up to $1,500 a month. And this is not the way it works. Housing authorities, Section 8, only work by the amount of bedrooms. And to the amount of bedroom, they have a table. Every section, every housing authority has a table of how much are the prices. It's what called HUD prices. How much are the prices for each type of house, apartment, it doesn't matter, it's all by the bedrooms, that they will pay you for this tenant.
So there's one other thing that you have to look for Section 8 housing, and you know it, you just don't realize you know it, is that depending on the city or the county, sometimes, so I know when I was looking at Section 8 people up in Wilkes-Barre has their own Section 8, and it's not a county specific thing. And if somebody from a different county was trying to look at my property, their voucher would not work for my property.
You won't even accept them until they have a voucher.
Right, but I'm saying that the voucher still needs to be for the right area.
Of course.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah,
you have
you need to make sure exactly
that you have to look at. Yeah.
So the only thing I want to add to that, if you have a caseworker from the current area that already working with this tenant that has a voucher from, let's say, from Philly to Montgomery County, and they have this voucher from Philadelphia, and they are already working with a caseworker in Montgomery County, you can work with them, but it will take time.
Yeah,
and you need to understand that. Yeah, if you want to occupy this place in a month, maybe it's not the one for you. So you need to see that. So after you see the voucher and you know that the voucher is valid, okay, of course, meet them like you do with every tenant, show them the place, everything is fine. And then if you accept them, by the way, I just want to mention something that I am not sure about. I heard from a Section 8 tenant that actually came from Pittsburgh, it was a year ago, that you are not allowed to ask them to fill up an application. I have never heard about this thing.
That doesn't make any sense.
No,
exactly.
I've never heard about this thing.
I want to know where they work. I want to know if they make any money.
She was very mad, and she said, and I said, I need to see this law, and if it's a law, I will obey it. But as of right now, I am requesting an application.
Yeah, that's fine. And then move on. That's your reason for saying no.
I'm treating a Section 8 tenant like every other tenant.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Every other tenant.
Yeah.
They still need to put a deposit if they want me to take the house off the market. They still need to qualify after the application. They still need to go through all this process.
Yeah.
And sure.
Then you need to go and get from them what's called the landlord packet. The landlord packet. So you get, I don't know, maybe 20 pages, and you fill up all kind of weird questions about the house. And it's weird questions because I think there is a question there, does the house has a roof?
Really?
There are questions there that are very unreasonable. Sure. Does the sink has cold and hot water? All kind of
stuff. So I did fill out a landlord packet, but it was only, I want to say it was only like 4 or 5 pages, and it was very general basic. How big is it? How many bedrooms? What kind of heat is it? What kind of water
is
it?
Yeah, correct.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't like, do you have a roof on the place? So it was just like, you know.
All kind, you filled all the, it's the same one that we filled. It's like
but it wasn't
the first
20
three
pages. It's like five
pages. No. Wait, we'll go through it.
Okay.
Because part of the packet is the addendum that you need to add to the lease. This is an addendum that you sign that you are adding to your lease.
And but it's not a completed lease.
It's your lease.
No, I understand, but it's not like it's signed by the tenant lease. It's not signed.
Yeah, the tenant is signing the lease.
So I was told not to have the tenant sign it because once they from the Section 8.
The addendum?
No. She was saying the lease that she has.
They asked for a completed lease, but not a signed lease.
Right.
They didn't want it signed.
No, that's fine, but still had your tenant sign the lease, right?
No.
We are not there yet. You're talking about Section 8 want to see the lease before the signing.
Yes.
That's a whole different thing.
Okay.
But you still need to add to your lease the addendum with all the rules of Section 8. The fact that you agree that Section 8 will come every year and inspect the property. The fact that if the house is not habitable for human beings, they won't pay you. That if you won't pass inspection, they won't pay you. All kind of Section 8 regulation. Because what people don't understand, you as a landlord has no agreement with Section 8.
Right. That's exactly
no
right.
agreement with That's Section right. 8. Section 8 agree to pay you for this tenant. But Section 8 is not obligated to anything else. There is no contract between you and them.
Yeah.
That's why you need to have the lease signed.
Exactly.
No, I understand. I think it just never got to that point is what happened.
She's right. She's right. You have to see.
He didn't take the tenant.
I didn't take the tenant.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. I thought you took the tenant. You had a tenant in a place.
I didn't have the tenant. She never moved in.
So like she said, after you fill up the packet and they want to see everything, they want to see a lease. Why they want to see a lease? They want to see what are you paying for. They want to see what's the heat, what's the cooking, what's the hot water? I don't remember. There was something else, I think, there. And they want to see who pay for what. For example, if you as a tenant, if you are my tenant and you are a Section 8 tenant, I can charge you for sewer. Did you know that?
You can or you cannot?
I cannot charge you for sewer.
Yeah.
I can charge you for water, but not for sewer.
Okay.
Okay, same thing with trash, same thing with by the way, if the heat is oil, you can't charge the tenant too. It has to be on the landlord side.
Interesting.
It has to be on the landlord side.
So hold on 1 second, because we're going to go to commercial in a second. But
sure.
You are like an expert at Section 8. I love it, because I'm not.
Okay.
I actually used to be, and I just haven't had a Section 8 tenant in so long that I'm not. But let's do this real quick. And don't answer the question right now. We have Heather on Facebook saying, would any of you live next to a Section 8 tenant?
I want to discuss
this. Don't answer the question.
I'm not.
I want to answer the question after the commercial.
Of course.
Because we got to leave on a hanger, right?
Yeah.
Right? So we're gonna answer this question after we come back from commercial. Would either any of us live next to a Section 8 tenant?
And Heather, you can call us if you want. We'll be very happy to discuss it with you online.
What's the phone number?
That's 855-939-1137.
All right, let's go to commercial.
This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Do you know when the best time to buy investment properties is? It's now. It's always now. You just need to learn how to buy them correctly. Go to investorschooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday night and learn how to buy investment properties and make money every time. That's right. That's what we teach. We teach how to buy investment properties and make money every time. Go to investorschooling.com and RSVP right now. Take a class this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Are you ready for retirement? Have you prepared everything you need? Well, in Investor Schooling, we will teach you ways to better prepare for your retirement using real estate and the stock market. But you need to learn how to do it right. And that's what we teach. At Investor Schooling, we sell nothing but education. Come to Investor Schooling and learn how to have a better retirement. Go to investorschooling.com and RSVP right now for this Thursday's class at 7 o'clock. Go to investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Are you tired of hearing about the recession that's coming? Are you prepared for it? Well, listen, at investorschooling.com, we're going to teach you ways to prepare for the recession that you didn't even know existed. We're going to teach you strategies on how to use real estate. We're going to teach you strategies how to use the stock market properly. That's right, you could even make money in the stock market when the stock market goes down. Hey, go to investorschooling.com and register for a free class this Thursday night, and you will learn all of these techniques. Go to investorschooling.com right now, RSVP for this Thursday. We'll see you there. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Don't go through life ignorant about how to become a millionaire. Learn how to invest in real estate, the stock market, precious metals, and learn from an expert. At Investor Schooling, we teach these things and more. We only provide education, and we will teach you how to leverage real estate, how to leverage the stock market, and how to leverage precious metals to make more money than you've ever made before. Go to investorschooling.com and take a complimentary class this Thursday. We will see you there. Investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. You may know me from my book, Money Hacks. You may know me from my radio shows. And you may even know me from some of these commercials. But listen, I'm teaching stuff that people need to learn about money. In fact, my favorite topic is money. So go to investorschooling.com and you will learn things about money that you never even knew existed. We will teach you things about real estate, about the stock market, and about how to use your IRAs properly. Go to investorschooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That's investorschooling.com.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling.
Oh, I'm digging this music. All right. Welcome back to the Larry Steinhaus Show. We are here. Actually, we're here talking about Section 8. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Deb Anderson, as well as Ami Murad. And it looks like we have made up. So we're actually really good, you know, friends again. By the way, so
when we weren't friends.
We were friends for 2 days last weekend.
We were.
You hated me 2 days last weekend.
You hated everybody, Omri.
We can be mad. It's okay. We're not burning people.
Heather wants to know what the phone number is again, one time. Real quick.
Are you kidding me, Heather, right?
Yeah, she's kidding, but do it anyway.
Come on. 855.
She wants to hear you say it. 939-1137.
There you go.
Larry interrupted me, so I will do it again. That's 855. 939. So, Kirk, tact, please tact.
Oh man,
that's right.
How is it relevant? I have no idea.
So I got nothing left for you, my friend. Nothing but love.
I have no idea.
That's funny.
Well, you have to give the number one more time now.
If Kirk can hold himself, I will say that the number is 855 939. Come on, press it, Larry.
Start from the beginning.
855-939-1137. What are you doing?
I was going to push a button, but I can't think of a good one.
Again, that's 855-939-1137. Please call us, guys.
Have this one.
No,
no. Signals don't work there? No. Well, that's what I said. I didn't have a good one for it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
No, it doesn't work.
All right, so Heather asked us before we went on a break, she asked a question online. She said, would any of you live next to a Section 8 tenant? All right, Army, you first.
I don't even know how to answer this question.
Okay.
So I don't see a difference between a Section 8 tenant and a regular tenant, every other human being.
Yeah, agreed.
I understand that sometimes people refer to Section 8 people as hard living people. I completely don't think it's in general thing, and it is what it is. I don't know. I don't have any problem myself even to live next to a Section 8 tenant. Never.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Would you live in one of the units that you rent? Like, not would you, but could you?
I could live in any one of my units.
Yes.
That's not the right answer. I'm not sure I will be. I would like that. But I can live in any one of my houses.
Right, and that's such an important thing. That's something that I believe in wholeheartedly, that every one of my rentals, I could live in. Now, I don't want to live in them, but I could live in them. They're nice, they're clean, the everything works, including the air conditioner. Oh, wait, did I say that out loud? Debbie just smiled.
We can go to this subject.
Right?
No, we're not doing that.
Yeah,
okay. So
but everything works, and I know that, you know, I could live there. Now, again, not that I would want to. I mean, you know, I'm used to a certain lifestyle. That's not that, but if I ever had to, I can move into any one of my units right now, and I can live comfortably in those units, knowing that I'm in a comfortable place, I'm in a comfortable neighborhood, and I wouldn't get, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Now, Deb, what about you?
I'd live in my condo in Philly. That's a nice condo.
Right?
Yeah, you saw it. I mean, it's a really nice place. I would in a heartbeat live there. I want to answer this two ways, right? So I moved out when I was 17, and when I was 18, I had my own apartment. So I probably lived next to Section 8 tenants, and I, like Omri said, I don't see a difference. I don't really care. The thing that frustrated me the most is I remember somebody else applying around the same time I did, and they didn't have the same rules as they did for me, which really annoyed me because I guess I made
what
a little bit more.
What do you mean by that?
I had to show them this amount of income, and I had to show all these things that I had to prove, that maybe because I was younger, I don't know, but they didn't have to go through nearly half the hoops I had to go through to get this apartment, and that is what really annoyed me. And I don't know if they were Section 8 or not. I don't really care, but that really frustrated me. But now where I live, you know, there is no Section 8 tenants there.
And yeah, it's the point, right?
Yeah, like they're, right. I'm with Omri. I don't see. I think it's just somebody who just doesn't make that much money. That's it. It's not that they're bad people or wrong people or whatever. They just don't make as much money as somebody else. So,
yeah, I mean, there are good people and there are bad people. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
If there are bad people, then they're bad people. If they're good people, then they're good people. You know what? Kirk got some message up here. We got we actually have Heather on the phone. So let's talk about Heather. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is a good topic, and it's funny. So I asked the question because I have lived in, not about the place itself, whether you know you would live in your own apartment, but really about the type of people that I've seen who are on Section 8, and I'm not putting them down or saying they're less than, right. But there's a mindset around it. And yes, some people are fallen misfortune. We all have, you know, at some point in our life. But I've just seen negative things about how the properties are kept up and what happens when they leave the properties, or it's just a lifestyle. So I'm just curious. That was my question.
Yeah, I've had people who are self-paid destroy properties, and I've had people who are Section 8 leave the property absolutely gorgeous. So it's not, you know, don't, it's not, it really, it,
it's the person. It's not a Section 8 thing.
Yeah, this is why you have to interview your tenants. You got to get an understanding of who they are.
Yeah.
This is why I always talk to my tenants. Like, sometimes I'll have a real estate agent, that will bring me a tenant. And like, yeah, I've got the perfect tenant for you. They have a 750 credit score, blah, 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 blah. Great, I got to meet them. Why can't they just move in this weekend? Not until I meet them.
Yeah.
Because I want to meet them. I want to know who they are. I just want to let them face to face, and I want to give them my rules.
So I turned down two of the people that the real estate agent brought me from Monroe because of that. You know, because something just wasn't right, and I spoke to them, and it was something just wasn't. Well, you saw the one, and the other lady, she looked on great on paper, but when I started talking to her, something was just off, and. Like, yeah, you know, this isn't going to work out the way, you know. And then, you know,
yeah,
when
careful
I...
with that, too, because, you know, so what happens is people have pride of ownership. So you've been working on a thing for a long time, and you're really proud of it. And I'm not sure.
I'm not really proud of it. She couldn't... Her phone started not working.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, she said she had all this money, and I asked for... She couldn't come up with the first, last, and security.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right there. That's the reason to let her go.
That's what I mean. So it was like... And then when I tried to call and talk to her, you know, her phone was dead. It wasn't working anymore. And then when I asked for proof, she had the train dogs. I'm like, give me some certificates.
I mean, it wasn't...
You don't sound good. It's like there's too many things here that are saying that you're not a good tenant.
Okay, so. But we still got Heather. I got to ask you a question, Heather. Okay. Would you live next to someone who's Section 8?
Mm-hmm. Would I live next to someone who's Section 8? I would, as long as, I mean, I would never, because I'm sure I probably do in my neighborhood, you know, even though it's a nice neighborhood, but it's, you know, now, yes, I would, as long as that person... kept the property up and you know,
normal people, right?
Yeah, they're just regular people. Right.
So that's anybody. It doesn't matter to me. I like, you know, so and listening to you guys, I'm looking at it from a standpoint as an investor owning a property, would I rent it to somebody with a voucher? That's really my looking at it. I wouldn't say no now, given, you know, the fact that I can have the perspective of just assessing the person. Just like I would any other tenant, you know. So
I just want to.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah.
No, I want to tell you something that maybe you refer to that. Some Section 8 people, when they get the voucher, and of course we know when they get the voucher, it's theirs for good, unless something very good happen. I guess they win the lottery or something, but they have the voucher; it's theirs. Some people.
Maybe they get a job, Army.
Behave. So if you get a job, you still have the voucher. They just pay less.
Yeah.
I know. But pay if you get more. A job for $150,000, they're going to pay nothing.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, but that likelihood is pretty low.
Yeah. So some people, if you look at that have the voucher, look at it as gifted. And by that behavior, this is a behavior that I experienced before with Section 8, and I didn't like. It's like, I'm coming to you with the voucher. I'm coming to you with a pile of gold. You will treat me right. You will buy me new appliances. You will do all that. And some of them, by the way, I saw that too, know how to trick the system, let's say that, to get what they want. I had a tenant a Section 8 tenant that actually made my life miserable because she wanted to move out. She wanted to move out because there was a shooting down the street.
Wow.
And she decided she don't want to live there anymore.
Sure.
And that was...
By the way, I wouldn't live next to that tenant only because there was a shooting down the street and I don't want to move
out. Exactly. So, I get you. So, the problem was she wanted out of the lease. And I said, listen, the demand is very high. It's fine. I know this happened. I know you're stressed. Let me show the place to other people. Okay, we'll organize one day and let me find another tenant and you will be out of the lease. And she refused to cooperate. She just refused to cooperate. And I called the previous landlord again. And the previous landlord, in a way, told me she lied to me on the first time. She was an old lady. She was very nice. And she told me, what she complained about now? And I said, oh boy, I understand where she is. And apparently that's her way. She, in order to get away from places, to change places and get what she wants, she would call Section 8 about an ant walking in the kitchen. And I think in a year, I had 7 Section 8 inspections.
From her.
From her.
Yeah, that happens a lot too. That
she requested,
They make your life miserable, and they ruin it for everybody else.
Every time they came about one thing, she couldn't prove the one thing, and they found something else. So every month I started to replace the trap rubber that maybe is leaking, and all kind of crazy and stupid stuff. And I kept doing it again and again and again and again and again.
Yeah, that's a mental disorder.
And in the end
I've never rented to a tenant like that, but I've had experiences with some people I know who have had tenants like that. There are people, they just have to have this attention constantly brought to them about this. And that's what that was.
I think so. And
there might not even have been a shooting down the street. She might have made it up.
No, there was something. I don't know what happened there, but there was something.
Right.
And I released her from the lease. She moved in February.
Yeah,
I released her from the lease.
And you felt so much better a month later when you got a better tenant.
I released her from the lease in November. And then she couldn't find a place or something like that. And the thing is, she tried to trick Section 8. She moved her voucher to Philadelphia.
Right.
She didn't tell the people in Montgomery County that she got the voucher in Philadelphia. So it was a time that she had a voucher from Philly. She should find a place in Philly. She found a place in Philly. She signed a lease on a place in Philly, but she didn't let the people in Montgomery County know. So she had a month that she had both houses.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm.
And nobody knew, and she tried to trick the system. And so when I exposed that, that's why I'm a good friend with the head of housing authority in Montgomery right now. When I exposed that and brought it up front, because they canceled my payment. Because at some point they figure out they are paying for an apartment in Philadelphia. And I said, she's still here. All her stuff are still here. She's still going back and forward. When it was out, she called them and she started to scream at them. She used the immigrant term in a very bad way regarding me, by the way. And everything exploded. Yeah. Everything exploded. And the Section 8 people called me and said, listen, we are not allowed to interfere in any situation between a landlord and a tenant.
Yeah.
In your case, we are sorry that you're going through this.
Yeah. So here's another thing. So here's another thing about Section 8. You got to be careful of this one too. Now, what happens is, let's say you want $2,000 a month rent for your place.
Yeah.
And they have a voucher for $1,700.
No.
Including everything.
They have voucher for a number of bedrooms.
I got you, but listen, I agree with you. But the number is $1,700. You have a two bedroom. They have a two bedroom voucher.
Yeah.
You have a two bedroom. They have a two bedroom voucher. The rent's going to pay is $1,700
in the zip code.
And you say, I'm sorry, the rent's $2,000.
Yes.
And they say, well, don't worry about it. I'll pay the other $300.
Oh, I'm not going there.
Do not do this.
Never.
This is the most dangerous thing you can do. First of all,
you can't sign a lease.
First of all, it's fraud. Number one is fraud.
Yeah.
And number two, if they don't pay the $300, you have absolutely no recourse to get that $300.
I'm not sure if it's fraud, but I will tell you that.
Oh, it's fraud.
Because, again, you have no agreement with Section 8.
Right.
The only agreement with Section 8 that you have is that I am, you know what, so maybe it is fraud. I agree to take this amount for this property.
Right.
And now you try to get something else under the table.
Yeah.
So maybe it is fraud. I wasn't thinking about it that way.
You know, I think we still have Justin on the line somewhere. Is Justin still out there?
Yeah, Justin, I'm still here.
You're still there, man. That's cool.
Thank you.
So what about you? You said you wrote on Facebook, you wrote F no, you wouldn't live next to somebody with Section 8.
Hell to the no.
Hell to the no.
Why?
You're increasing the probability of something bad happening to you because the people that are in Section 8 housing don't have very good values or they're not taught like a good code of ethics, to be honest with you. Mostly everybody who meets up there comes from a shelter of some sort, and if not, they come from rock bottom. And at the rock bottom, I mean, we're out here shooting dice and dog fights and, you know what
that's
I mean?
Not,
pulling pistols on people.
Some, let's
look,
say some.
I'm not saying that there aren't people who do that. I'm just saying that that's quite a generality. Because I've met a couple people on Section 8 where they worked at like McDonald's full time and they were trying to put their kids in daycare, you know, and they just didn't have like any real job.
Yes, you do
so,
have.
So
those.
The question is, would you have not, those. Not whether you live next to a Section 8 person?
Guess who they're sleeping
it's whether
with.
You
they're
live next to somebody who shoots people.
What's that, Justin?
With dope dealing? That's what's going on in Section 8. I lived in Section 8. I've lost four brothers and a baby sister to the state of Texas Child Protective Service because my baby mama was smoking crack. I mean, not my baby mama. My dad and my stepmom were smoking work, is what they call it in the hood. and that's dope. You know what I mean?
That's very specific. I get it.
Percentage of the people in Section 8, a huge percentage of the people in Section 8 don't know what ROI is, or don't know what a sustainable business is, or don't know what a saturated market is, or how to like go out and, you know, set yourself
up. But Justin, slow down.
Yes, sir. Okay.
In my neighborhood, most people don't know what ROI is, don't know what sustainable business is. I mean, so I'm sorry, you know, I live in an affluent neighborhood. So.
I don't know if my husband even knows what those
words
mean.
You're being silly where you're going off here, but I appreciate the call.
Anybody in business knows what that is.
Yeah, but not everybody's in business.
You're not everybody's in business.
I get exactly what you're saying, but you need to remember that, first of all, not all of them are like that. And yes,
yeah,
I understand that
small.
It's... Very. Percentage. You think most of the people are, let's say, taking advantage of the system?
Well, taking advantage of the system is one thing. He's talking about being drug addicts and being murderers and being criminals. That's what he's talking about. Now, it might be in the section that you're living in, but it might be in the area you're living in that's a problem, and Section 8 happens to live there. But the Section 8 tenant isn't the problem. The area is the problem. So I would suggest you move. All right. Let's go. We only got a few more minutes here. Let's go somewhere else before we run out of time.
Okay.
So real quick. So I just want to let you. Glenn online says that he would definitely live near a Section 8 tenant, but he would never live next to Omri.
That's right.
And fire Omri, he says.
And fire Omri. Yeah.
Fire Omri.
That's why I live alone in my building. Nobody else wants to take those apartments.
So I get the opportunity to spend time with you all the time. Actually, we're running out of time here, but I get the time to spend time. Like, you know, we go to Florida
trips,
and we have a great time. Actually,
we do.
You actually think that last week would actually make no sense for the great time that we usually have, but we have a great time, especially when we go to Florida and we watch these great shows on YouTube.
Yes,
none of them are porn.
No.
No.
Not even on the phone.
Not even on the phone.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing. We're good friends.
We went full circle now.
Okay, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. This is why, apparently, this is why you guys don't invite me on these Florida trips.
Did you hear the sound effect that
Kirk's playing now?
Yeah. Man, I'll tell you, man, Kirk, you know, you're pretty interesting, Kirk.
We are good friends.
We only got 30 seconds now, so I got to say my goodbyes to everybody. And, you know, I'll make sure that I give a special goodbye to Kirk. All right, thanks everybody for listening. We love you guys. You guys are awesome. This was, or it is, or whatever, the Larry Steinhaus Show. And you can go to and stop that. You can go to investorschooling.com and you can take a free class this Thursday night. You can learn about this and other topics. You can learn about all different topics about money. We just touched the surface on this show.
Yes.
So go to investorschooling.com. We thank you, Kirk, for being such a good job. Take care. See you Thursday.
This program is paid for by Investors Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investors Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.